In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Holy Great Fast, which is called the Sunday of Temptation, in which Satan, the tempter, tempted our Lord Jesus Christ with three temptations. And actually, when we try to understand these three temptations, we will find that Satan is using the same technique to tempt the human being from the time of Adam until right now. And the three temptations were about the Word of God. How? The first temptation, after the Lord fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So Satan came to the Lord and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." The temptation happened after the 40 days, and as we know, just before the 40 days of fasting, the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized in the River Jordan, and a voice from heaven came saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God the Father testified about the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And here we find Satan is casting doubt on the Word of God and saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, "If you are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, then you can command these stones to become loaves of bread and satisfy your hunger." And Satan also knew in the book of Deuteronomy, it was written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This verse was mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. And again, Satan is casting doubt on this verse, as if he is trying to say to the Lord, "No, this is not true. You can change these stones into bread and satisfy your hunger." Because the Word of God shall not make you live. So Satan is casting doubt on the Word of God. That is the first technique he used to tempt the people, the human being. And he used the same technique with Adam and Eve. Listen to what he said to Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, Satan said to Eve, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden'?" Did God say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Again, Satan is casting doubt on the words of God. And until today, Satan is casting doubt on the word of God. Satan is trying to convince the world right now that the Bible is not the word of God. That the Bible is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have many people, and unfortunately, many biblical scholars are casting doubt on the word of God and say, no, the Bible is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this again is the teaching of the Bible itself. And there are many theories of inspiration. Some of them says the Bible is partially inspired by the word of God. When it comes to the facts of faith, but the Bible is not inspired when it comes to history and science. And of course, this is a wrong theory of inspiration. And other people say, no, the words are not inspired, but the thoughts are inspired by God. And again, this is not right, because both the words and the thoughts are inspired by the word of God. So devil until now is casting doubt on the word of God. Many people right now say the Bible is not true and cannot fit our needs in the 21st century. It is written in certain time, in certain location, in certain circumstances, in certain culture, and we cannot apply this to our life right now. And that's why the Bible starts in the mind of many people to lose its authority. And in theological seminaries, in many of theological seminaries, unfortunately, they teach what's called biblical criticism, in which they cast doubts on the word of God. They cast doubt on the story of creation. They cast doubt on the story of Noah's Ark. They cast doubt on the story of Jonah. They cast doubt on many, many facts in the Bible. It is the same technique. Satan is casting doubt on the word of God. And in the second temptation, Satan was distorting the word of God. How? He said to the Lord Jesus Christ, after taking him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, he told him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And this verse is mentioned in Psalm 90. But Satan distorted its interpretation. How? The Lord says in Psalm 90 that he is taking care of his children and he will send his angels to protect us, to guard us, to deliver us from any harm or any hardship. So, if any person may fall down, God will send his angels to carry him, lest a stone strike his foot. But Psalm 90 didn't mean at all that intentionally you throw yourself from the pinnacle of the temple and then God will send his angel to protect you and to carry you. Definitely not this was the meaning of Psalm 90. Because if we throw ourselves intentionally, we are tempting the Lord our God, we are testing him. So here Satan is distorting the interpretation of the verse. And again, from the time of Adam and Eve until our time right now, Satan is distorting the interpretation of the Word of God. Now, again in Genesis chapter 3, he said to Eve, "Did God say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And actually God didn't say this. God didn't say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden. Actually God said, you can eat of any tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of evil and good. So here Satan is distorting either the words itself or the interpretation of the words. And until our days, Satan is distorting the word of God or distorting the interpretation of the word of God. And I'll give you one example how Satan is distorting the word of God until our time right now. All the denominations, all the Christians' denominations, believe in the same Bible. But we have thousands of different denominations with different interpretation for the same verse. And of course, there is only one right interpretation for the verse. Why? Because God is not an author of confusion, as St. Paul said. God is not an author of confusion. God does not want to confuse us. So definitely, any verse in the Bible has only one correct interpretation. And the other interpretations are distorted. And who distorted this interpretation? It is the devil. Some people, for example, interpret the verse, "This is my body, and this is my blood. If you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have eternal life, and you will abide in me and I in you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is very clear. "For my body is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." But many people until now, they interpret this verse differently. And they say, no, it is not the real body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not the real blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is just a symbol. And when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," this doesn't mean we are recalling the same event, so we are eating the same body and the same blood. No, they say it is just a memory. And this is how devil distorts the interpretation of the word of God. it is written that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:16. And also it is written in the book of Acts that Hananiah said to St. Paul, be baptized and wash your sins. So it is very clear that baptism is for washing of our sins. And in Acts chapter 2, St. Peter said, repent and be baptized, for the promise is for you and for your children. Which means the children also were baptized. But as I told you, Satan distorted the word, the interpretation of the word of God. So we have many people right now don't believe in the sacrament of baptism and don't believe that baptism is essential for our salvation, and they don't believe in infant baptism. That's how the interpretation of the word of God is distorted. So either Satan is casting doubt on the word of God, makes us believe this is not the true word of God, this is not the very breath of God, or either distorting the interpretation of the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when Simon Peter said to him, you are Christ, the Son of the living God, he said to him, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And in Greek, the Lord used two different words, Petra and Peter, Petrus. Petrus is the name that was given to Simon Peter, and Petra is the rock. So there are two different words, Petrus and Petra. But again, how Satan distorts the interpretation. They interpret this verse that the Lord is building the church upon Peter. And definitely this is wrong. It is upon the rock of faith that Peter declared, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock of faith, God is building his church. Because the church is founded on the faith of the apostles and the prophets. As St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which means on their faith. And what's their faith? The prophet prophesied that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And the apostles confessed that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. So it is upon this rock of faith, that church is built. But again, Satan distorted the word of God. So Satan either casting doubt on the word of God or distorting the word of God. And in the third temptation, he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, after he took him on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. If you worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms of the world. And the Lord said to him, begone, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Satan trying to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, if you worship God, and if you fast for God, you will be hungry. You will not have the pleasures of the world. You will not have the kingdoms of the world. But if you worship me, and if you follow me, I will give you all these kingdoms of the world. Which, in other words, he was trying to tell him, God doesn't want your best interests. What did you gain from worshiping God? What did you gain from this fast? You are hungry. But if you worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. So he is denying the word of God. Because the word of God says and teaches that if we worship God, we will have eternal life. And if we follow Satan or worship Satan, the wage of sin is death. But Satan again here is denying the word of God. Denying that worshiping him is the way to the eternal fire. Worshiping Satan is the first step that leads to destruction and eternal fire and condemnation. So he is denying the word of God. The word of God teaches that we should worship God, but Satan says no. God doesn't want your best interest. If you worship me, I'll make you happy. I'll give you the riches of the world. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And again, he used the same technique with Adam and Eve. When he told them, you shall not die. God said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. But Satan said, no, you shall not surely die. Why God told you will die? For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And God doesn't want you to know good and evil and to be like him. Because God doesn't want your best interest. God doesn't want your best interest. So God lied to you and told you, if you eat of this tree, you will die. But no, you will not die. If you eat of it, you will be like him, knowing good and evil. God doesn't want your best interest. That's what Satan teaches. He is denying the word of God. And until today, Satan is using the same technique. He is telling us, God doesn't want your best interest. If you forgive your enemies, if you love them, if you turn the other cheek, people will take advantage of you. That's what Satan teaches. So you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't forgive. You shouldn't turn the other cheek. You shouldn't love your enemies. You have to be strong and you have to fight for your rights. And you have to repay eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. That's what Satan teaches. He is denying the word of God. He is saying God doesn't want your best interest. He's saying, if you live with God, you will not enjoy the pleasures of the world. But if you live with me and you follow me, I will make you enjoy all the pleasures of the world. If you go to church, they will teach you, especially he's saying this to the youth. If you go to church, they will teach you no dating, no dancing, no premarital sex, no drinking, no and no and no and no. That's what God teaches. And actually this will prevent you from enjoying your life and having a happy life. God doesn't want your best interest. But if you follow me, I will make you enjoy all these pleasures. You can date, and you can dance, and you can drink, and you can use drugs, and you can do this and that. God doesn't want your best interest. And unfortunately, many youth until today believe Satan. One time, a young man came to me and told me, I don't want to come to church, and I don't want to confess, I don't want to live with God. I said to him, why? He told me, because I want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy my life. If I come to the church, you will prevent me from doing all these things. And I'll find happiness and joy in these pleasures. He believed Satan. He believed the temptation of Satan that God doesn't want your best interest. So these are the three techniques, the three methods that Satan is using until now in tempting us. Either he is casting doubt on the word of God, saying that the word of God is not real. You shouldn't believe everything written in the Bible, because not everything is really the word of God, the true word of God. Or is distorting the word of God, distorting the interpretation. He will tell you, yes, this is the word of God, but how you understand it, let me offer you an interpretation for this verse. And Satan is offering his own interpretation for the word of God. Distorted interpretation. Or he is denying the word of God. So the word of God teaches not to lie, and Satan teaches no. If you lie, you will save yourself. The word of God teaches to forgive, but Satan says no. You have to stand for your rights. Don't forgive. He is denying the word of God. So how can we resist the temptation of the devil? These are the three temptations of the devil. Casting doubt on the word of God, distorting the word of God, and denying the word of God. How we can respond to the temptation of the devil? We will follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the Lord responded to this temptation? He used the word of God to answer the devil, to resist his temptation. So, we also will use the word of God to respond to the temptations of the devil. Devil says, or devil is casting doubt on the word of God. Let us see what the Bible says. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The heaven and earth will pass away, but not even a word or a letter from my words will change. That's what the Lord said. Saint Paul said to his disciple Timothy about the word of God. that the word of God is profitable. See what he said to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Till I come, attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophetic utterance, when the elders laid their hands upon you. Practice these duties. So he told him, till I come, attend to the reading of the Scripture. Attend to the reading of the Scripture. And also, he said to him, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith. So the Scripture, the Word of God, is able to instruct us for salvation through faith. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture, without exception, every word, every letter in the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So, don't give your ear to those who say that the Bible is not the Word of God. Don't give your ear to those who say the Bible is written in a different circumstances, in different culture, and we shouldn't apply what's in the Bible because it is not the Word of God. And some people differentiate, for example, between the words of St. Paul and the words of Jesus Christ, for example, the Gospels. And say, yes, St. Paul said so, but the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say it. As if the letters of St. Paul are not inspired. Or other people say, no, but this was mentioned in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. As if the Old Testament is not inspired by God. Listen to what St. Peter says. St. Peter says, first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. There was no prophecy came by the impulse of man, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. So, every single word, every single letter in this Bible is the true Word of God. The second temptation, he is distorting the Word of God. He is distorting the Word of God. And we should know that the Word of God shall live forever. And regarding the interpretation of the Word of God, we should follow the interpretation of the early church fathers. When the church was not divided into different denominations, So if now, if we have conflict about one verse, how do we know which interpretation is the correct one? We should go back and study the early church, how the early church understood this verse, how they interpreted, how the church for 5 centuries believed in this verse and interpreted this verse. And then we should follow this interpretation. So if the early church believed that this is the real body and that is the real blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, then it is the real body and the real blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the early church says that baptism is essential for salvation, then we must believe that baptism is essential for salvation. If early church understood the authority was given to the disciples to forgive sins upon the earth and to loose and to bind every bond of iniquity, if the early church understood this, that we have to confess our sins to God in the presence of the priest and receive the absolution through the priest, then we should practice this and we should believe in this. We shouldn't yield into new interpretations. We shouldn't yield into a distorted interpretation for the word of God. Because this is not from God. This is from the devil. And we should know that the interpretation of the word of God is the authority of the church. And I mean here by the church, the apostles and their successors. God entrusted them with his word. And he said to them, go and preach the gospel to the whole world. So as the apostles preached the gospel and established the churches, we should follow their interpretation of the word of God. You are built, Ephesians 2:20, on the foundation of the apostles. Even heavenly Jerusalem has 12 foundations. And on these foundations were written the names of the 12 apostles. And that's why we say the church is an apostolic church. The church follows the apostolic tradition. The church follows the apostolic teaching. It is written in the books of Acts that the early church was following the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, breaking of the bread, and prayer. So, if there is any distorted interpretation, we should go to the early church fathers, the apostles and their successors, and see how they understood the word of God, how they interpreted, and we should follow this interpretation. It is written in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they, the early Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So if we need to understand the correct interpretation, we should devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. The last temptation, which is denying the word of God, when Satan says, God doesn't want your best interest. No, we should understand what plans God has for human being. The plans that God have for us are plans of prosperity and goodness. As he said in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper and to be successful. Plans to have peace. This is the plan of God for us. The plans of God toward us plan to make us prosper and successful in our life, plans to have peace. As he said to the apostles, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, so I do. If Satan says, sin will not hurt you, sin will not harm you, we shouldn't believe this. Because in the book of Numbers, it says, be sure your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, my sin will find me out. So, God gave us His word in order to have real peace, in order to have real joy in our life. If Satan says, no, if you follow me, I will give you the kingdom of the world, don't believe it. He might give you some pleasures, but with this pleasure, there is a poison of death. You know how? The fruit of the tree was attractive to the eyes. From outside, it looks very good, very pleasant to their eyes. But inside, it has what? Death. The poison of death. And that is the world. Satan tries to present to us the world from outside, very attractive, very pleasant. And we desire it. But after we take it, there is death inside it. But on the other side, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. From outside, he is despised, has no beauty. The Jews look at the cross and they are offended. And the Greek look at the cross and they are stumbled, as St. Paul says. So from outside, as Isaiah said, there is no beauty in him that we may desire him. But from inside, there is life. The blood that is shed on the cross is the blood that grants us the eternal life. So don't be deceived if Satan says to you, God doesn't want your best interest. All what God will offer to you is a cross, is suffering. No, in this cross there is salvation and there is life. But in the kingdoms of the world, also it's very attractive from outside, there is death. These are the three temptations: casting doubt, distorting the word of God, and denying the word of God. May God protect us from every temptation as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Finally, O Lord, hear us when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, for then the kingdom, the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ,
communion and gift of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.